Snack Bar Games Podcast.
It's a new year and it's a new podcast, kind of the same podcast, but it's another one of those. I'm Graham, and as always, I'm joined by Matt, Jerry, Sean, and Andrew. How's it going, guys?
This is the first podcast of the last year.
Yes, it's the last podcast of the last year.
What?
No, it's the first podcast of the last year.
You're saying we're canceling it after this?
Did you cancel
it? Unless you know something we don't, Graham.
It's the first podcast of the last podcast. Of the first year,
okay.
He's been watching. You get to start the next time series.
All right. So,
I feel like we don't know. We're already off to a great start here.
Yes, just kind of getting back from the holidays and talking a little bit. How was your time off, guys? I know we spent a lot of it catching up, playing some games, doing some weird stuff. Sean, you just got back from MAGFest. How was MAGFest?
Crowded.
Great.
There were 6,000 people this year, and I think I heard that the record before this year was 3,000.
That's too many people. Wow.
Whoa.
But it was a lot of fun. I got to see Uematsu perform live.
Earthbound.
Unfortunately, I lost my cell phone, so I didn't get to have him sign anything.
Yeah, it's too bad. But
you say you lost your cell phone so he couldn't sign anything?
Well, I was too busy looking for it, and by the time I looked up, the line was about 6 hours long.
Oh, I thought you wanted him to sign.
And I didn't
want to
stay up.
I was going to say, you wanted him to sign your cell phone.
No, yeah. Although Eric also was there, and he had Uematsu and the Earthbound Papa sign his 3DS.
That's cool.
Yeah.
They haven't released. Earthbound will never come to the Virtual Console, so.
Okay.
I'm saying he won't get to play it on that console.
Right.
Sure.
Unless he has an R4 card.
Okay.
Which they were selling at MAGFest.
Are you confused about who Nobuo Uematsu is?
You said Earthbound. I know who he is. I didn't know that he did Earthbound.
He did not.
Oh, he no, didn't? Why did you say Earthbound?
That's the name of his band.
His band name is Earthbound Papas.
I didn't know that, though. But I was like, I didn't know he did Earthbound.
That said, I don't. Is there a game that he did that you can play on the 3DS?
They're probably going to do some kind of...
No, not right now.
Great.
I don't think he brought anything with him, but he wanted to get a signature. So he's like, hey, I have my 3DS with me.
That's
here
a cool
you go.
Thing. I was just thinking, like, what would be the appropriate thing to play in there?
I'll get him to sign my oddly colored hair.
Blue Dragon Plus.
He can sign my zippers and belts.
Great.
Like Final Fantasy, you guys. It's a video game, probably haven't played it.
Nope.
All right. Never heard of it. This is starting off really well.
Oh, we're back to our normal selves.
We're rusty. Yeah.
Okay, let's just get started here. News time. Sean, news time. What's news time?
Well, news time is lots of new stuff.
Great.
New year, new stuff.
Great.
New entry in XCOM.
Yes.
Everyone that was upset about it being a first-person shooter can relax because Firaxis is making a strategy game out of it.
Now I can enjoy the first-person shooter in peace.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think this is basically, like, considering that they couldn't get the old team to do it, and they really can't because they've pretty much, you know, fractured after, what, like 15 years?
Yeah.
You can't really get that team together. So Firaxis is probably the best scenario for that.
Do you think they announced this as a reaction to the ire they received because of making a first-person shooter?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they got the idea. I mean, it's been, what, like a year and a half now since they announced
E3? Enough that they could be like, oh, crap, who's the best team we can get?
Well, sure. Or, I mean, there's a big uproar about we want it to come back as a strategy game. I wouldn't be surprised if Firaxis was like, hey, publisher, we work with you.
What's up? Let us make this.
Yeah.
But if they were doing that all along, wouldn't you think they would want to say, oh, yeah, there's going to be a strategy game, too?
Papers couldn't have been signed until now.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Well, that end, Firaxis has a history of working on the mechanics quite a while. before they actually show anything off. I know with Civ 5, they had like a whole bunch of different prototypes. And, you know, maybe they wanted to actually wait until they could give you information. I know this month they're going to try to roll out more things. But also, I think the problem is that games like that tend not to get that much press in general. You know, strategy games, that, you know, there's the whole idea they don't sell. But I just think it's a smaller market and maybe it's a good idea to, you know, wait until a few months out just to get all the hype going all at once.
I think it's getting bigger as a market after, you know, StarCraft and Civ 5 and all that stuff. I think it's mainly getting bigger because that's one of the few genres that gets PC exclusives anymore.
Well, Civ 5 is still one of the top five played games on Steam weekly.
Yeah.
Sure, that's just one game, though.
Right, but I'm saying
it's just the same.
It's one huge game, though.
Right.
Yeah. It is, and I'm sure StarCraft 2 would be on there, too, if it was
Blizzard. No, I'm saying like they're still playing the same game of Civ since the game came out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm just saying that the strategy
is the same eight guys still playing. I mean, I think they may have gotten to like 1800s or something by now. But
you're thinking of Civilization 3, not 5.
Ah, okay. I think they finished that one now.
Can you start a Civilization game? Can you start a Civilization game where you want, or do you always start it from like caveman?
Yes.
Thank you.
you can start from whenever you want to.
Correct.
Cool. I actually want to play it. I've never played it.
What's weird about this is it's also coming to consoles. So another console strategy game. I don't know how that's going to work.
I feel really bad about that, except Civ Revolution was competent.
Yes, yes. Yeah. That's true. I just remember that.
Is it coming to Vita?
No, just the home consoles.
Oh, I'd totally play a strategy game on the Vita with the touchscreen and portableness of it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Revolution 2 comes to it, if they ever make one.
I wouldn't be surprised if they port Ghost Recon Shadow Wars to that thing.
I was going to say Ghost Recon Shadow Wars 2 for the Vita.
I was always going to say Ghost Recon Shadow Wars 2.
Yeah, like I know this isn't...
No matter the context.
This isn't like nearly the same thing, but one of the very few strategy games I've been able to get into was Final Fantasy Tactics Advance, and that was purely because of its portability that I was able to take it with me.
Right. And you know, the PSP was really good for that sort of game. You know,
yeah, they had Final Fantasy Tactics.
They had Disgaea, but not only that, but they had
Ogre Battle.
They did have Tactics Ogre, and they had some originals. They had Jeanne d'Arc was like a really good early system title. I'd love to see that happen again with the Vita, the combination high res touchscreen, you know, Japanese popularity might work for it.
Tactics 2.
Sure.
I want Tactics 2.
Well, they are already getting Army Corps of Hell, so.
Yeah, I think that's more like a, you know, it's a Pikmin-style action strategy game. It's not exactly...
No, I know what you mean. It's a start.
That said, I do want to play that game.
Oh, they should put Pikmin on the 3DS.
Sure.
They should.
That'd be cool.
They should actually get started on Pikmin 3 sometime.
Yeah.
Right after they finish Super Smash Bros. For the 3DS. Right after they finish Kid Icarus, which actually, as it turns out, will be delayed until 2014.
Did they really say that?
No.
Oh, because I would totally believe that for how long we've been... I can't believe it's not out yet.
They did say that Smash was going to be worked on right after they finished Kid Icarus, and that was a really dumb announcement because Kid Icarus keeps being delayed, and I think everybody was excited for Kid Icarus until it became the one thing that kept them from playing Smash Brothers.
Remember that when that was supposed to be a launch game for the 3DS?
Yeah. I remember when that was the only game anyone cared about. Yeah, when all the 3DS games are coming out at cons and stuff and people are playing them, no one gave a damn about any of them except for Kid Icarus, and it's the one that's not out yet.
Yeah.
What's weird is we played at E3, and it seemed fairly complete, at least the multiplayer.
Yeah, well, it seemed fairly complete at their event in January. It seemed mostly complete the previous year when I played it, but, like, I don't...
What are they doing with it?
It's Nintendo's Duke Nukem Forever. It's never complete.
No, that's Pikmin 3.
Oh, right, okay.
Or Kirby's Return to Dream Land.
Yeah, but that was actually good. I don't know.
Or the next Star Fox.
They're not working on another Star Fox.
No, which is sad.
There will never be a new Star Fox.
There will. There will. Q Games will make it. They made the last one.
They'll remake the Super Nintendo version as a 3D classic.
They should do that.
How would that work?
What do you mean? Just make it
3D. Give it 3D.
Well, I'm saying like... The 3D classics up until now have just been 3D with sprite work. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to make the SNES Star Fox a 3D classic, you really need to make the ship 3D, like, actually.
Yeah.
I want it in 3D, but I'd I want them to keep all the wireframe stuff.
I feel like if they do that, they also have to do 3D classic Super Mario Kart.
I'm surprised that hasn't happened yet. We've already got a Mario Kart and a 3DS and a Star Fox. Let's ask for stuff that we don't have yet.
Okay.
New Star Fox.
A better Zelda game.
Advance Wars?
Yeah.
Oh, that's and a new Fire Emblem.
Yeah, that's another strategy.
We're getting a Fire Emblem, supposedly. But
well, Japan is getting
Japan's getting one.
Hey, yeah. We've gotten every recent one except for the last one, and the last one was a updated port of a side story.
But it's Fire Emblem, and I want it.
Fire Emblem
I want it too, but I think that you know, an original title has a lot better chances of making it over here.
Hey guys, I've never played a Fire Emblem game. Which one should I start with?
All of them.
Should I just pick any one? Like, should I get one of the GBA ones and just...
I would suggest... You know what? As much as it's not... Of the Fire Emblem games released in the US, this is among the worst, but probably the best place to start.
Sacred Stones?
Definitely Sacred Stones.
Is it the Wii one?
No, it's the second GBA one.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But it allows you to actually grind a little bit, so it's a little less controller-throwingly frustrating.
I'm told it's easier, too.
And the new 3DS one is kind of a spiritual successor to that. There's, like, a map, and you can go back and forth. But that said, 7's good, 9's good, 10's good, but you should start with 9. But, yeah, I mean... Since they don't have numbers over here,
you should probably use the subtitles.
Just don't play the DS game, but the other ones are great.
Don't play the. There's only one DS
game.
I like
Shadow Dragon. Yeah.
It was alright, but it's not. It's
a remake.
Yeah, it's a remake of the original game, and they didn't really Didn't really add anything to make it like lively or anything. It's just
the original
like,
one, the Famicom one.
Yeah. Okay. So it's an alright game, but I would play the other ones first.
Okay.
Also, I would play all of them.
On the other hand, if you play it after all the others, you'll hate it. So you might want to play it first.
Sometime in the next several years, I will pick up some Fire Emblem games and play them.
Great.
Maybe.
Maybe when we get a 3DS game, you can...
I just found Sacred Stones.
But yeah, all right. What were we even talking about?
Next news item.
That's right.
From XCOM to Fire Emblem.
Let's not go through that.
We have a new Lego Batman game, which is actually Lego Justice League.
Yeah, which I think they should really call it Lego Justice League. I think it would sell better. But
kids love the Batman, and they hate the Superman for some reason.
As long as Aquaman's not in it, I think it'll sell.
Superman.
I'm only going to buy it if Aquaman is in it.
Time for my Aquaman rant.
No, it isn't.
Listen, Aquaman was uncool once in the stupid cartoon where everyone else sucked, too. Aquaman's been fine.
The GameCube game?
That doesn't count.
That's like the other time that he was in something.
No, I mean in general, in comic books and television stuff. Like, just everyone knows him as the Super Friends Aquaman, when that's not Aquaman at all. If you read a comic book ever, Aquaman is pretty cool.
You know what my favorite Aquaman is?
Brave and the Bold Aquaman.
James Cameron's Aquaman.
There you go.
Yeah.
That show was terrible. That Entourage is a terrible show, so don't reference it.
Sure, but that's how low I hold Aquaman. But I do want him in this game. But yeah, so...
Well, considering it's a Lego game, everyone will be in it that could possibly be in it.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. And also Batman.
I'm going to play as Ambush Bug.
Every Batman will be in it.
That's why Batman is in the title, because he's the best. He's the best superhero.
Okay.
Yep.
Great.
That is a fact.
Russian Martian Batman will be in there.
Russian Martian Green Lantern Batman.
Yeah, regular ass Batman.
Regular ass Batman.
Regular ass Lego Batman.
Yep.
That's a different website that we're talking about.
All right.
Also, Crystal Dynamics has apparently said that they're working on a new game. They will not tell us anything about it, though.
I want them to finish working on their old game first.
Yes, I want them to finish the new Tomb Raider first.
That is the problem I have with studios like that. Now I'm all for, you know, having fun, teasing a new IP, but, you know, you have a reboot of a game. You need to focus on that for right now.
Did they say new IP or just new game?
They said entirely new IP.
Yeah, damn.
So no Gex.
No, oh, that's what I was. Man. Yeah, that's what I wanted. No Gex. But there's so many new movies to parody, and you know he would still make Matrix and James Bond jokes.
Of course.
It wouldn't be Gex if he didn't.
Yep.
There will not be Gex. Don't.
No, but we gotta say it though. They need to make a new Eternal Darkness.
What?
I want a new Eternal Darkness.
What? But that's not.
The Silicon Knights.
I don't care. Didn't they have something to do with Eternal
it's
Darkness?
It's a different mineral.
No, but I mean, at a certain point, weren't they like going to pick it up or something? I remember reading that.
No.
No.
Then I'm totally wrong then.
You're confused.
No, that's I totally read at a time that they were going to be the guys to make the new one.
You're in the wrong part of the periodic table.
That's no. It's because there isn't any. All right, fine.
Okay. Anything else, son?
Yeah, we have a new flight simulator from Microsoft, and it's going to be a free-to-play game.
Game of the year.
Is that it? Should we just give up the rest of the year? Just
game, but I mean, Game of the Year 1994, but Game of the Year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be free to download, free to play. If you want new stuff in it, you have to buy it.
Yeah, I think I'm done with free to play. Like forever.
Unless Star Wars goes free to play.
I was always done with free to play, even before I was.
You know, set up email filters anytime I get anything free to play. Just go ahead and get rid of that.
So you're saying we shouldn't do a spinoff of Best to Play Now that is called Best to Free to Play Now?
Right.
I don't know.
Well, no, unless we're talking about like NHL 94, you could, you know, EA released those ridiculous old sports games. Those are free.
Are they
so
really?
Like you the can play like Daggerfall, right?
Oh yeah, Daggerfall.
Those are best to free to play now.
Arena's on there too, although I don't know how it ranks compared to Daggerfall.
I feel like Daggerfall would hold up better.
Probably so
neither, not but, that neither that well.
Yeah, I was gonna say they don't really play that well.
Yeah,
but they're there.
First Command and Conquer's free.
Yeah, I'm okay with free games. I just don't want free to play games.
Well, they're
free
to play
games means you can they're gonna charge you money.
But you can play them for free.
Yeah.
Sure.
Play for free is the same as free to play, is it not?
No.
Why don't you like
sounds
free to play?
Sounds like semantics to me.
Give us a reason why you hate it.
There's something about turning a game into a business model.
Wait a minute.
Where, like, I want to buy this game. I want to reward developers for their work. I have no problem paying for that. It's when they turn the game mechanics into this Pavlovian... we're going to find ways to get you to spend more money thing. When games turn into gamification, that's when it hurts. I'm even okay with, like, you know, earn in-game currency doing this, but when it's like, oh, you can just buy this stuff, then it's really frustrating to me because there are all these people that are, you know, willing to throw down the money and, you know, then it's not even, and I mean, I don't have a good time when I have to worry about all that stuff.
What if instead of buying items, they allowed you to just, like, purchase... like, instead of buying... like, just, like, a one-time fee of, like, $30 or whatever would make you the next part of the game or something. Like if they're... like, the way they did the payment structure for DC Online is you can still pay for it if you want. What if instead of paying a monthly fee, you just bought more of the game at once?
You know... I'm okay with that because that's essentially just DLC. But the thing about that is that the base game is still kind of a full game. I understand the free-to-play gets it in people's, you know, gets it in people's systems and lets them play it and gets them to pony up the money. I think the solution would be to offer an option to people who just want to pay the flat fee. And, you know, like, say you could do the microtransactions thing, mm-hmm. where you can just be like, all right, $30 for this game.
Yeah.
And there won't, and you will get all the things.
That's how it should be done.
Yeah. But the problem is when they offer things like that, like I know Age of Empires Online did that, like pay $20 and you get a Civ. But then, like, there was still stuff on top of the you've already paid the big chunk in your free to play game thing that part was what was frustrating.
Well, Star Trek Online is going to be doing that. I don't know if they're still doing it, but everyone that signed up for the lifetime membership is going to continue getting everything for free.
Dude, I can't wait till that game is free. I'm going to play it.
So am I. We should start a crew.
Yeah. Great. Snack Bar Games ship. SS Snack Bar.
IKS Snack Bar.
I don't know.
That's a Klingon ship.
Okay. I've seen less Star Trek than you'd think. I like Star Trek a lot.
That's actually from reading the books too much.
Oh, gosh. All right. Are we done with news?
Yeah, news is done. That's why we're talking about Star Trek.
Let's talk about what we've been playing. And Andrew, we'll start with you. And you've been playing Trine 2, right?
Have I?
You have.
Yeah, I hope so.
You reviewed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
We're professionals around here.
What? No. Yes. Yes, we are. Okay.
Yeah, you want to write up a review of Bioshock Infinite real quick? We'll be the first one to run one.
I can do it right now. It's great. It won't be a 1 out of 5.
So Trine 2, how was it better than the first Trine? Because the first Trine was pretty good.
First Trine was pretty good. Yeah. I think what they did with Trine 2 is they took those mechanics that worked really well and managed to expand upon them. Not so much that it feels like a completely different game, but like it still eases you back into it. So if it's been a while since you've played Trine at all, or if you've never played Trine at all, then there's still a lot of tutorial to get through, but it just eases you back into it, kind of how Portal 2 did with going from Portal 1 to Portal 2.
So I heard a bit of chatter that it was really kind of expecting you to have played the first Trine, like it's a lot harder. So that's not true. There's a lot of
I'd say in terms of difficulty, it's about the same.
Okay.
I think the puzzles are a bit more challenging, but it's not. I don't know. I feel like they introduce mechanics, in a way that kind of flows with the rest of the game. Like you don't feel like you're not stopping in the middle of something and then a pop up message comes up saying this is how you do this. It's just kind of as you're experimenting with the characters, it'll tell you a little message will pop up at the bottom of the screen to tell you this is how you do this, and they'll kind of continue along with that throughout most of the game.
So you do things that aren't just making blocks and jumping.
Yes, you do lots of the knight is still there and you still. Pretty good at fighting, but he can throw his mallet now, which is good for breaking walls and stuff. But he's mostly the most worthless character. The thief is probably still the best because she has the grappling hook, which is the best method of getting anywhere in the game because it just grapples onto any wooden surface, and most of the surfaces in the game are made of wood, so that's nice. And the wizard is pretty much your puzzle solver. He creates boxes, he creates platforms. It's mostly box creating, but he has new things that allow him to like move enemies. If you want to just like kind of, if you're quick enough, you can kind of like push enemies out off of things, like if there's spikes nearby. It's a lot of the same. Speaking of portals, this game has portals now.
Great. Can you put the boxes in the portals?
You can put boxes in the portals and they come out of the other portals.
Great.
The portals are
Can you put the portal on a box and move the box with the portal on it?
You put a portal in a portal?
Oh,
on a box?
The game just broke. You guys just broke the game. No, but it's the portals are not like you could just have portals anywhere, but there are certain situations where, oh, hey, there are these portals here. They don't really explain them.
Can you go through the portals?
You can go through the portals, yes.
With the boxes?
Can you throw mallets through the portals?
You can throw whatever you want through the portals.
Can you throw mallets at a box and break the box?
Yes.
Can you throw mallets at a box and knock a box into a portal and then have the other part of the portal knock the box into you so you're hitting yourself?
That's actually, you just solved a puzzle right there. That's it.
Great.
Can you send one of those freaky looking spiders through the portal and never have it reappear?
No, it'll be there again. Just on the other port. The other side. Yeah, but it's I feel like I say this a lot with a lot of the games I've reviewed recently, but it's more of what you got with the first game, but the mechanics are improved enough that makes it feel a little fresher.
Yeah.
And the co-op is cool. I don't think I mentioned the co-op at all in the review because I didn't play that much of it, but I recently jumped into a random co-op game and just to try it out, and it's still fun.
The first one was local only, right? This one's online.
Yeah, this one does have online co-op. It works fine. I would not recommend jumping into random games because then, of course, you have people you don't know just kind of throwing boxes at you, which is what happens.
Portals.
Sometimes through portals, I didn't see that myself, but they could. But yeah,
great.
it's It's a lot of fun, and I really like the first shrine, and I think the second one does everything that game did, but a little better, and it's still fun, and it just makes me want a new Lost Vikings game, but that'll never happen. Lost Vikings is still Blizzard's best game. I'm gonna just say that right now.
I don't know. No. Rock and Roll Racing.
No, Diablo. 2, rather.
Lost Vikings is really good, guys.
Lost Vikings 2? What about Lost Vikings 2?
That's good, but not as memorable.
Sure.
Yep.
Rock and Roll Racing.
It hasn't been at all. We've discussed this.
Yeah, right. But you do bring up an interesting point, and I think we've all reached this point, especially in this console generation, but just right now in games, most of the things we're playing are basically like the thing we played a little, you know, before, but a little better.
Yeah, because we're at the end of this console's life cycle, and, you know, developers, publishers don't want to really introduce new franchises when everyone has these other franchises they're really into. But, I mean, at the beginning of this console generation, we got Gears of War, we got Infamous, we got Assassin's Creed, we got the Modern Warfare games, you know, and at this point, it's kind of, we're kind of sick of all of those, so.
No, that's true. I just think that beyond that, I think indies have kind of taken on this role being the crazy experimental thing, but with polished products, even with Trine, which started out as an indie thing, but Trine 2 really is kind of like this polished product. When you have that stuff, there's not really, you know, that's not where anybody's trying anything. And I think that's more true now than it was in previous years.
I can agree with that.
Here's that place for that, so we don't even need to try.
I get what you're saying. Also, I think the fact that this console generation has kind of gone on longer than any other.
Yeah.
The developers are just kind of, what do we do now? I mean, we can't really make this game look any better. Like, Uncharted 3 looks good. We all know it does, but it's just Uncharted 2 still looks good, too. You know, they want new hardware, but at the same time, they don't, because I've heard developers say, you know, we're still getting used to this new hardware. So we're in a weird spot right now.
And that said, I think prior to now, there was a lot more hunger for more powerful hardware. And yes, people can do bigger things. I think we'll see another generation of hardware that'll really push, like, you know, the kind of things Battlefield 3 could do on the PC or Witcher 2 or something like that. But that's not nearly as necessary I think we've reached the level of immersion where, you know, yes, it could be more detailed, but that doesn't really help anything.
Now we have
believable characters. We're running up against the Uncanny Valley at this point. So do we want games to look better than now?
I think this is the
moment when, you know, you just got to go on creativity.
We were kind of talking about this on Twitter earlier, because I was playing Klonoa, and that's like this adorable cartoony game. And because it's adorable and cartoony, it's not realistic. Games like that from the PS1 and parts of the PS2 era, instead of looking realistic, they would just go batshit crazy. Like, they would just drop acid out of nowhere and just go nuts. Like, the end of that game, just colors and tunnels and shit everywhere, and nothing in the game is like that at all. But now it's like, you know, you guys know how much I loved Uncharted, but it was like, look how cool we made this desert look. But I can go on NationalGeographic.com and look at deserts. Like, I want to see stuff that I've never seen before. Like, I want you to make new images in my brain that have never existed. But game companies don't want to do that. They just want me to just see how cool this bullet looks coming out of this gun again.
Looks pretty cool, though.
We still get some stuff like that, like with Rayman, which I'm sure we're going to talk more about. I'm actually playing through El Shaddai. That game is weird as hell, but
that's one of those games I'm talking about.
Yeah, it goes all over the place. It doesn't have a distinct style. It has several distinct styles. So, but I think at this point, if we're gonna get any more realistic, we might as well just go back to FMV games. Sewer Shark 2.
Oh, I have a theory about this. I think we're gonna see a bunch of FMV games soon because
Twisted Pixel, man.
Yeah, well, because Twisted Pixel, they did the thing from Gunstringer. Yeah, but then also an Xbox Live indie game just came out that my friend is playing, and he says it's amazing, but it's like an FMV game, and he's like, I don't know who these guys are, but they did a good job with it. I don't remember the name of the game either, but I think we're going to just see a big flood of those coming in, and I can't wait for it.
I hope they just kind of mock themselves, though. I hope they're not trying to take themselves too seriously. That's why I think developers like Twisted Pixel know what they're doing in that regard.
Yeah. Oh, also, if anyone wants to look this up, someone on another podcast was talking about what's the Sylvester Stallone movie from the 90s with Wesley Snipes? Demolition Man.
Demolition Man
game from 3DO, where it's like all of the environments are CG rendered, but Sylvester Stallone is running around on a green screen, so he's FMV. It's fantastic. It's the best thing ever.
So you're saying
rolling around.
You want Demolition Man 2?
Yeah.
Both movie and game.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Great.
Oh, yeah, totally.
The game is the movie.
I want another Taco Bell commercial made into a film with Wesley Snipes and Sylvester Stallone.
Yes.
All right. But you know what? Let's go ahead and talk about Rayman. And I think we talked a little bit about it in November, but I think over the holidays we've all had a good chance to finish that thing up or get back to it. And Matt, we'll start with you.
That game has been crazy on sale everywhere. Like, everyone is trying to get rid of their stock of Rayman, so go buy it, please, because it was like $20 on Amazon yesterday.
It was $20 on Toys R Us.
Yeah. It's been $30 at Gameporium for a while, just selling it for $30, but it's absolutely worth that price. I don't know if it's worth $60. Was it $60 when it came out or $40?
It was sixty.
It was $60?
Okay, $50 on the Wii, but $60.
Yeah. I think it was worth $60.
Because
you get a lot of content. I mean, it's a long game,
I was gonna bring that up. I think it's a long game to its detriment. I think that Rayman does a lot of great things we haven't seen done in platformers in a long time, but it also does a lot of things that we've had from a lot of more modern platformers that I think they've been doing wrong, which is, just having us go to the same levels again and again, even if they're different levels, but they're in the same world. It's still like I've jumped on these same drums and gone through these same didgeridoos just in a different way. And also the thing I put it down for a little while. I was playing it today, but I did put it down after playing the hell out of it because I finally hit that point where it was like, oh, go back and collect more MacGuffins because you don't have enough to go past this part. And I cannot freaking stand when a game does that because it's like I finished every level up until now. Is that not enough to progress in your game? But it's not enough. They want you to go back. I hate, like, that's the only reason I was one of the very few people who wasn't totally in love with Mario Galaxy 2.
Yeah, I can understand. I mean, I never ran into that problem with Rayman Origins, I don't think.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was that door, but, I mean, I had more than that by the time we got there, and I wasn't trying that hard.
It's only happened to me once, but the fact that it happens bothers me.
Yeah. I love that mid-boss, though, because you look at the initial setup and you think, all right, I've gone like, you know, that map. I've gone all the way around the screen and then it goes into the middle. So this is the end, right? And then you fight the boss and it's like, oh, surprise, here's four more worlds and then come back and then you can go to the final world. Like, what? This game is not over right now.
I was happy. Like, I was so sad because when I got to that point, I was like, oh, man, this game's going to end already.
Oh, sure.
And then I mean,
I'm glad that they did that, but there was that moment where it's like, you know, I was sitting there with my friends and we were like, yes, we get to the end. Oh, four more worlds. They're like, all right, let's stop playing this right now.
The thing is, like, I might just be getting tired of it, but I think that as it goes along, the game gets worse. I think, like, the later levels are just not as good as the earlier levels.
I completely disagree.
I really like the very, very last world. Have you beaten the game?
Oh, yeah.
I've not finished it yet, no.
Okay. Well,
the last world is
spoilers.
Awesome.
Spoilers. You know, like every other 2D platformer seems to think putting a boss battle at the end is great, but generally boss battles aren't the fun part of platformers.
Mm-hmm. No.
And actually Super Mario 3D Land did this too, but like the last thing is just this platforming segment. And Andrew, you beat the game, right?
Yeah.
You know that last level where it puts together all the mechanics of the game.
But then
that level is like the hardest.
It is
like 3-minute segment.
Oh man, I was actually streaming this back when the game came out, the week it came out. I was streaming this one level and I was doing it for like an hour. I had to stop. It's not frustrating, but it really completely surprised me just how difficult the game gets.
It's a difficult game, but there are very few parts where I was like, oh, this is just hard to be hard. Like, this isn't hard. Like, most of the time, I feel like if I died, I screwed something up. And that's a really good thing to mention about the game. This game controls probably better than any platformer I've ever played. And I play a whole lot of platformers. Like, the the natural, like, the how natural the controls are blows my mind. The way that Rayman will do things where it's like, I don't even know what buttons I hit to make him do that, but it was exactly what I was trying to make him do. Like, it's, it feel like it's the whole, you know, people say that the controller is a barrier and that you can't be fully immersed into a game unless you're playing the Kinect or whatever. But no, like, I totally felt at one with this game when I'm running around, like, especially during the parts where you're chasing the treasure chests, where it's just basically you trying to get through the level as fast as possible. And instead of just being a time trial where you're just racing at the clock, like, it gives you a, it gives you a carrot to chase. Like, those are just really well designed, and just jumping around and then unlocking all of the moves that all flow so well. It feels so good.
The final level is a lot like those treasure chest cases, except you're not actually, you're not really chasing anything. You're just kind of trying to survive.
I mean, with the treasure chest things, you're not really chasing something anyway. I mean, you can't catch up to it early, but in the same way that final level does that, where it has that, you know, the main boss guy is getting away and you got to chase him, and you know that was incredibly tough but incredibly satisfying.
You did that in co-op, didn't you?
I played that whole game co-op.
How do you do that last level? I just, like, well, it seems like that level.
If anyone gets everyone behind, they have to give up.
Yeah.
But the thing was, it did keep it really fresh, because, like, whoever could, like, stay ahead, it's like, all right, you know, I was playing as Blue Rayman, which I did every time, and we had a Teensy and Red Glowbox and Blue Glowbox, so it was just kind of this fun. I mean, we played this last level for like an hour or so before we got it, but it was like, all right, you know, Blue Team, let's go. And it was a lot of fun like that. I mean, like you said, you played the thing for an hour and then just had to give up. But like, when you do that, you, like, if you fall behind, it's kind of a break. It's like, let's see if you can make it. But yeah, I mean, finishing that was really satisfying.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because you have to be so precise. Like, if you mess up once, if you feel like you're off by a second, you're just like, yeah, well, that's it.
Yeah.
I can't make this next jump. I know.
So in that way, it's very Super Meat Boy-ish.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, so, you know, I like that part. But I will say one thing, playing the whole game in co-op, there was one particular mechanic that just totally ruined it at times.
Hovering?
No. You know, you have to pop the people out, you know, kind of like the bubble in Super Mario, you know, like, you have to, like, hit them to get them back.
Yeah.
When you're small, your punches, like, propel you forward. So if you're ever trying to, like, stand somewhere, it's like, all right, let's pop everyone before we get going. You do that, and you'll, like, you know, careen yourself into something, or if someone's standing next to you, you'll hit them and knock them off the platform, and that part was really frustrating. I figured out eventually that when you're little, you should really just kind of punch upward, but that seemed unnecessary. Why you had to have that moment? Like, there's no gameplay moment when, oh no, your punches push yourself forward should matter.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
that's a minor gripe.
Yeah, there are times where it works out for you, though, and it seems like they intentionally made it work out. Like, there are times where you're in the ice levels and you're breaking all the blocks of ice, and you got to do it really quickly. The ice levels in this game are well done. The water levels are well done as well.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed the water levels.
Whenever a platformer can make water levels, any kind of water environment fun, I really have to commend them, because usually it doesn't work out that well.
The shooter levels are good.
Oh yeah, shooter levels.
I was surprised by that. Like, they're not tough, but, like, I thought once I saw how often the shooter levels were popping up, I was like, oh gosh, shooter levels. But then by the end of that game, it's like, yeah, cool. It's a nice change of pace, especially if you're trying to, like, rush through that game with a group of people, you know. Like, we don't want to play 14 platformer levels in a row. Put some shooter segments in here.
I feel like they could have had one more thing like that to put in there, you know? Like, there could have been something else to break up a bit.
The rabbits.
No.
It could have been
This is before the rabbits. This is the origin.
But they're so adorably crazy.
Of course, that said, also, did you guys get any, like, Andrew, you've played a lot of Rayman games, right?
Yeah.
I don't understand how this was the origin story.
I don't think it was supposed to be any,
like, you start sleeping on that limb, and then the end of the game, you fall back and you're still sleeping
you fall
on
back
that limb.
Yep.
I think it was that's just not a good title. The title is just to denote that he's, like, back to his roots.
Yeah.
But they could have had something better.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're thinking way too much about the story and lineage of a series that really is just completely crazy.
I just thought there might be like a 5 second, you know, part of the end cutscene that like shows the boss plotting the, you know, the big evil thing from the first Rayman game or something. You know what I'm saying?
Can we call it Rayman Origins Wolverine?
Sure.
Okay.
I play that.
That's gonna go up there with the weird things I call games. Like Assassin's Creed Boys in the Hood.
Half Rayman Origins, half Sonic Unleashed. I could do that, yeah.
Sure. Play that.
Yep.
This is completely off topic.
Some Where Rayman segments.
But, now we're talking about Rayman.
No. What I'm going to say is completely off topic.
This podcast is completely off topic.
But I saw recently that there was a Progressive commercial with Sonic the Hedgehog in it.
What is up with that?
What is that?
I
a weird commercial.
I'm like, oh no, this was it. Like, I didn't believe it. You know, people will believe that Sonic is dead, that Sonic is gone. There's never going to be a good Sonic game again. Of course, I haven't played Generations, so I don't know about that. But then when I see Sonic in a Progressive commercial, like, yep, this is the end. Sonic is gone. He's dead.
Hey, you know, Colors was all right.
It was all right.
Yeah, it was all right. I guess
the best thing about Colors was the hat.
Sorry to argue with that. But yeah, no, I saw that commercial and I'm saying, what is going on with that?
I don't know.
Like, I don't understand. Like, who thought Sonic should be in that commercial?
Because he moves super fast and he loses his rings all the time.
Sure, but they don't reference that. Like, if they reference that, like, oh, you're going too fast or something. Like, no, it's just like, that guy's looking for car insurance. Like, what?
They didn't call him Sonic.
Yeah, also, like, yeah. And then for some reason they have them animated for, like, a second and a half. Like, wonder how he sees us. Like, why does he see you
animated? Why does he see them as cartoons?
Like, this is not something Sonic's known for. Why does he want to put Sonic in this?
He does drive a car in one game, so, I mean, there's
But he's not in that commercial.
I know. he's not going to drive the car in the store, though.
Yeah.
Well, sure. I mean,
it's an internet store. It's not a real store.
Yeah, no, but...
People do all kinds of weird stuff in there.
Let's move on. I don't even know what's going on.
Now I'm just waiting for Geico to hire Gex as their new mascot.
I think he secretly has been Gex the entire time.
Oh really? But it's not Dana Gold.
Dana Gold to do the voice.
He had a stroke.
Make jokes about movies that no one cares about.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Jerry, what have you been playing?
Oh, I can actually talk now.
You didn't want to talk about Sonic in a Progressive commercial? Come on.
I'll back on that.
Great.
I'm playing a little bit of Fortune Street.
Yes, Fortune Street.
Fortune Street.
I have also been playing Fortune Street.
So have I.
Didn't we already talk about this game?
Not that much, I don't think.
Not enough.
Back then I was like the only person who had played it, and I didn't really have much to say about it.
Oh, so now I'm the only one who hasn't played it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
You gotta get in the train, man, the Fortune Street train.
I don't play player games. I just play games by myself.
Well, then you probably wouldn't like Fortune Street.
Yeah. Though, if you like playing games without yourself, you'd like Fortune Street.
Like if I just watched a gameplay?
There's an option. There's an option. You set it up out to lunch, and the computer will play for you.
Yeah, there you go.
My friend's been doing that.
It's the best zero-player game of 2011, I think.
An improv comedian I know tells a story about when he was in college, they would play whatever N64 wrestling game they had at the time, and they would make characters of like everyone in their dorm and just put it on all computers and just get drunk and watch everybody fight.
That sounds amazing.
It does.
I used to do that with Smash Brothers without the drinking. The tournament thing. I would just have a 32-player AI tournament and see which character was the best.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out that character. Like, which AI is the strongest AI? But that never worked. Because the thing is, if you put it on Sim, then like level 3 AIs would win, and it was dumb.
I always watched them so I could see their strategies.
Mm. That's fair, but Fortune Street. Hey, we've talked a little bit about this, but I think it's not going to sell very well.
likely not.
It'll sell better than Rayman Origins, but
I don't know. I know about it has sold people better than
it. No, yeah. It has sold much better. Sorry, than
Rayman Origins sold about 40,000 copies.
I'll be
something
over here crying to myself for a little while.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I like that game.
I like it a lot.
It's a board game.
I like the cover.
We've talked about the cover.
We've talked about the cover.
Yeah, but still, it's funny. Looks like you bought it in Chinatown.
Okay. but yeah, no, I like it. It's definitely for a certain situation, certain mood.
Babies.
What?
What?
It's a baby game? Is that what you're saying?
No.
I don't think babies know anything about stocks. I mean,
yeah. No, it's definitely, you know, if you want to get together with people and play games, you don't play Fortune Street. But if you want to get together with people and hang out, then you play Fortune Street. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like a, just like you know, your standard American board games. It's more of a social construct with which to, you know, talk and have a little fun, more than like a game of skill. There's definitely some skill to it.
Skill to it because I have not won a game
yet. It's one of those things where it takes a while. You know, even if you lower the total, it's a good three and a half hour game.
Yeah, they can go on for a little while, but I don't know, those games can completely turn at any point. Like you could be winning, and then before you know it, you could be in last. I don't know. It's something about that, those kind of games. Like you even if that person is way ahead in first, you never expect them to win until.
Can you save the game?
What do you mean?
No.
Oh, you mean like mid game, like mid match?
Yeah, like turn it off and pick it up later.
You can play a single player game, but not a multiplayer one.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
Yeah, it is too bad. But you can set everyone to go out to lunch, and then
yeah, there you go.
Or hey, you know, doing what your friend did in college, and just set everyone to AI and sit back and watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, look how good I'm doing.
Who's the best stock trader of your friends?
Game. Yeah, but no, the easiest thing to do is to get one of your friends to trade you the last property in a district, and then just buy a whole bunch of stock in that thing, and then start upgrading everything.
Yeah,
and you win when one person lands on it.
Pretty much.
Yeah, but people should check out Fortune Street. I'm not going to sit here and say this is a really good game because it's not like a really good game.
It's a pretty good game.
But for what it is, it's like the only thing you can get.
That's like
in the U.S. Unless you have a copy of 2001 PlayStation 1 release board game Top Shop.
That okay.
I have that. Huh? That was totally released in the U.S. I think there were a couple hundred other people. I got it for $1. It's pretty cool. But anyway,
is it as cool as Fortune Street?
Well, it doesn't have slimes.
And it's not as cool.
Yeah, it's not.
But
as cool.
It does have this like weird cat guy, and it's like knockoff Fortune Street. Like it's obviously based on the series because that, you know, it's been around since like 1989 in Japan. Mm-hmm. But like since this was like an age tech game, it got localized.
All
but,
those
like,
great
bad localized.
All those great age tech characters.
It's pretty funny because it's just like, oh, this guy's kind of like a fat cat, but also he's like a dude, and then he runs a shop, and it's dumb in the best ways.
I kind of want to check this game out now.
I might have to show it to you guys at some point. But,
is it canon? Solitude for $50?
Huh?
Does it fall into the Dragon Quest canon?
Fortune Street?
Yeah, like is it actually in canon?
No. It has locations from canon.
Yeah, it has... Has Slimenia.
Yeah,
Rocket Slime.
Woo.
Yeah. If we don't get the other Rocket Slime games, there's a new one for the 3DS. I doubt we'll get it, but
we're not gonna get it.
I want.
That's such a shame.
To get it is good.
No one bought Dragon Quest Monsters 2.
Yeah, but Rocket Slime is a different series, so maybe...
It's not really though.
They can't really blame Dragon Quest Monsters 2 because considering you know the very unfortunate timing for that game.
It came out in...
I thought it was perfect timing.
Wait,
when was
a good time for it to release the game?
Yeah, it came out when the only other games were Kirby and Professor Layton.
Yeah. If it had come out a couple weeks early, I think the thing was that it came out at the exact same time as Kirby and kind of like, okay, well, we have this quirky game for RDS to play for a little bit.
And it came out a year after Pokemon, so it's like a Pokemon-y game when it's a year after Pokemon and there's no Pokemon game on the horizon.
Yeah, that's true.
What they should have done is put Gotta Catch 'Em All on the cover. Then people would buy it.
Yeah. Have they announced a new Pokemon yet?
Not yet.
They announced a Nobunaga's ambition and
Pokemon. Oh, that's a thing. I forgot.
It is a thing.
That is totally a thing.
The hell is that? I don't know what that is.
It's a crossover between Koei's strategy title, Nobunaga's ambition,
and it's like Three Kingdoms.
Pokemon. And Pokemon?
Yes.
And that's amazing.
It's for the original DS, though.
I don't know why.
Out, like, late this year in Japan. So, we're not going to get this game.
No, it'll never get over here.
Developed by Koei. Like, I don't understand why they gave him the Pokemon license. What is that?
I want them to make that Pokemon prequel that someone made up on the internet.
Great. Well,
Koei should just make a new Uncharted Waters and call it a day.
They should make,
I'm probably the only one to buy it.
Koei should just make a good game.
They should make a new Liberty or Death.
Uncharted Waters.
Yeah.
We need a new one.
They should make a new Apuna.
Uncharted Waters was pretty good.
They should make a new Dynasty Warriors.
They should make a Dynasty Warriors and Apuna crossover game.
Dynasty Warriors Pokemon game.
Pokemon Apuna game.
That'd be cool, though. A Pokemon game where you play it like Dynasty Warriors. Where you just, like, play, like, it's sort of like Rumble Blast, but you're,
yeah, I was
like,
going to say Rumble
Blast. I was going to say, isn't that Rumble Blast?
But no, but you're, like, isn't that game more like an RTS? Like, I'm saying, like, if you straight up play as a Pokemon and just tear through.
It's basically top-down Dynasty Warriors, that game.
Oh, well, in that game, you don't play as actual Pokemon. You play as Pokemon toys.
Yeah.
It's not right.
Almost as blood.
Dynasty Warriors Pokemon, you just fight off, like, waves of Rattata, Zubat, stuff like that.
So there's no
Tower Defense?
Pokemon Tower Defense. I'd play that.
I
would too.
It would be bad, but I'd play it.
No.
It doesn't have to be bad.
Your towers, I mean, like, Bellsprouts.
Pokemon spinoffs. There have been, most of the Pokemon spinoffs, I'd say, have been pretty good.
I'm thinking of
older ones, though. I'm thinking of, like, Pokemon Pinball, Pokemon Snap, and
yeah.
Pokemon Coliseum. Yeah,
the ones lately have
Pokemon
not
Coliseum.
Or no, not Coliseum, Stadium, sorry. Stadium
was all right.
Coliseum was all
right. It was okay, but then, you know, Battle Revolution was not great.
Pokemon XD.
You know they had Pokemon Dash, Pokemon Troze, you know, the Ranger games were not great.
Mystery Dungeon was all right.
Then they made like six of them.
Yeah.
The same story.
It's the same game. I mean, that said, Chunsoft's been making the same game since like 1987.
But they told you what Pokemon you were.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought that was pretty cool.
I don't believe them. I was a Totodile. I'm pretty sure I'm a Charmander.
I'm pretty sure you're a Totodile.
What are we talking about?
Pokemon right, personality
Sean,
tests.
What have you been playing, Sean?
Fortune Street. MLB The Show. And something called Find Me.
Find Me Game of the Year.
So at MAGFest, I assume.
I had no choice because I got 500 people to tag me at MAGFest.
Street.
Everywhere you looked, when someone wasn't playing a game, they were looking down at their DS, seeing who they had tagged.
Yeah, I remember that at E3, where it was a lot of, you know, press guys like, all right, I got this in March, but I haven't gotten to street pass anybody, and then just everybody street passed each other.
Yes, except that I only got 130 at E3, despite there being 60,000 people there.
Well, you had work to do.
I got 400 at MAGFest, and there were only 6,000 people there.
I could see that. I mean, but again, work was being done at E3. There is no work at MAGFest.
Wasn't E3 this before the 3DS price drop, though?
Yes.
That said... Yeah. Game journalists mostly had taken the plunge at that point.
Yes.
But anyway, so yeah, I guess we can go ahead and move on.
Probably.
Talk about 2012.
The final year.
The final year.
The year of the Mayans?
Of the Wii. That was 2 years ago.
Huh?
Year DS. Yeah, Devil Survivor 2, 2012 DS Game of the Year. We can go ahead and call it.
Yep.
Probably, yeah.
Yep.
Unless that Pokemon Nobunaga's Ambition game comes out here.
Right.
And then we got competition.
Or if I'm going to say finally get a release of Diamond Trust of London.
I'm going to pretend I know what that is.
Spoilers, 2012 isn't the end of the world. It's just when the Mayans return from their extra-dimensional portal.
And kill everyone.
Yep. That's right.
End of our world.
Yep.
The start of Maya World 2.
Okay. As long as I get to play Bioshock Infinite before that happens, I'm happy.
You won't.
No. Nope. But they will.
It comes out December 23rd.
Yeah.
No.
The Mayans
will
be playing
some games
it for the
that
next
are coming out in
years.
2012.
But no, you guys haven't heard of Diamond Trust of London? It's had quite the...
Sounds like a Pierce Brosnan movie.
It's Jason Rohr. You heard of that guy? He's kind of this indie guy who made Passage and a lot of these experimental indie games.
He's been
working for a few years now on getting this DS game released. Originally, he had a contract with like Majesco, but they wanted to make it DSiWare, and he wanted a real cartridge. And anyway,
and they wanted to put Babysitting Mama in there.
Right.
Yeah.
But he finally got a deal with, I think, Zoo Games or something. But it's this game that's two player only, but it'll have download play, where it simulates like blood diamond trading in Africa.
Oh man. I gotta change my most anticipated to the 2012 games real quick.
Great. Yep. That may release, but I was looking at the schedule of like remaining DS games, and it's pretty much that and Devil Survivor 2 and this thing called I Heart Geeks, which seems to be some like weird, I don't know what it is, but I don't want to find out game.
So like Sprung 2?
Oh man, Sprung.
See, Sprung 2 would have a chance. I don't.
I used to own that game. I don't know why.
Yeah. The PSP has a couple of things, you know. It's got Grand Knight's History.
PSP ain't dead.
And, yeah, pretty much just Grand Knight History. Oh, wait. We have Gungnir, right? Yep. I think they're going to be, there will be a few more stragglers for the PSP.
And whatever other PSP game that Atlus hasn't revealed yet.
Yeah, it'll be Ground Lancer 4.
How can it not be Ground Lancer? Yeah. Like, if they don't announce Ground Lancer, I think everyone's just going to shoot them in the face.
And then buy the game anyway.
They did that stupid teaser thing where they kept announcing hints that are both of those games. It's like, why would you, you know, drag that out over a matter of weeks and not announce both of those games? Like, it just seems like trolling your own fan base is pretty dumb.
And then they announce Gungnir, and then, hey, guess our next game.
Yeah.
It starts with a G.
Yeah, they're not usually as big trolls as Capcom is.
Yeah, though I think Capcom just doesn't get it. But like, if Atlus did that, they would knowingly be, you know, screwing with a bunch of people, and I don't think they'd do that. With the PSP, I think the fact that you can download these games and play them on the Vita means that we'll get a few more straggler releases than we will for, say, you know, DS and the Wii.
We are also
Tales in the Sky second chapter, please.
We're also still getting a Final Fantasy Type Zero, though there's been no confirmation as to how it's getting going over here.
Oh, I couldn't That's imagine true. Them putting out a UMD at this point.
No, it'll probably be digital or a Vita cartridge.
Unless they have some sort of special edition, I could see them doing like a really limited run for collectors. But I'd
probably get that.
Yeah, I would too. That game is sweet.
Is there any reason why they couldn't just put a 2 UMD PSP game on a Vita cartridge instead? And just release it like that?
No. Except for then people who had a PSP wouldn't be able to play it.
Right, well, it would also be make it digital too.
That's also expensive because when you're printing the same, like UMD would, if it came out in Japan on a UMD and in America on a different format, it would be really expensive to print it on two different things.
Well, I mean, they're already having to localize it. It's not like they can like print the same.
Yeah, I think the localization would cost more than what media they put it on.
I also think that they wouldn't want to spend more.
Are the cartridges more expensive than 2 UMDs?
Printing it on something else would be expensive because you're printing it specifically for one country. It's very stupid and annoying. It's the same reason like all my examples have nothing to do with games, but like it's the same, like we've seen that happen.
Oh, you mean like how many they buy at a time?
Yeah, like okay. We've seen that happen with stuff like Phoenix Wright coming out on GBA in Japan and in DS in America. But that even that was like a special case, and they printed, you know, that was a very small game that they printed very few copies of in America. In Final Fantasy, they would have to print a billion copies of it, and it would not sell as many as they would need to bring that cost back. I don't think.
No,
it
that,
must,
that's true.
I'd love to see them do it, but I don't think they're going to do it.
Yeah, I can only see that happen if it's like a slightly enhanced port that they also release in Japan with like dual analog or something.
Yeah, like I'd love to see them do that. Because then I wouldn't have to buy the special edition and also pay for it to also be on my Vita, which I know I'm freaking going to do because I'm an idiot. But yeah, I don't think they're going to do it.
Yeah. Of course.
Either way, I'll buy it when it gets over here, however it gets over here.
Yeah, me too. Because did you play the demo?
No, it was in Japanese.
I played it.
Oh.
I don't know how to, I can't figure out Japanese enough to sign up for a Japanese account.
Oh, me neither. I knew, I was like, okay, they're saying boy. Okay, now they're saying soup. Okay, now I don't know what any of this is, but I still played it.
I can't even sign up for an account because I can't figure out how.
But oh, that's easy.
You don't even need a Japanese account, though. You can download right off the Japanese site.
Oh. Yeah,
go on. Oh, wait, what? Okay. No, you didn't make a Japanese PSN account, though.
No.
You know, you could the demo was region free and digital, so you could just download it from your computer and put it on like a stick and throw it in.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just got it from PSN.
Yeah.
Well, okay then. I will be downloading it at some point.
All right. Anything else you guys are excited about?
Silent Hill.
Really?
Vita? Yeah, I think Silent Hill is going to be cool.
Okay.
Which Silent Hill? Vita Silent Hill?
No, what's it called? One with the rain?
Downpour. Yeah.
It definitely looks pretty cool. I think it's gonna be cool because I don't think it's gonna be a great Silent Hill game, but I think that it's cool that because there aren't any except for two of them. But yeah. I think it's gonna be cool because like Silent Hill is always, you know, the everyman that you're supposed to be, because it's like, oh, a regular dude can be this twisted on the inside, but this guy's an escaped convict, so we're gonna see the most messed up Silent Hill we've seen yet.
Just don't watch it in 3D.
They're just gonna throw more pyramid heads in there and just.
Oh, I know, but it also like so far from what I've seen, it looks pretty cool. And the way they've handled it has been pretty cool, like the way that they've involved the community with little things, like letting people design the headstones in the graveyard and stuff like that.
I don't know. I just can't get excited about Silent Hill anymore.
I haven't, and it's weird that I'm excited for this one. I think it's just I've seen enough from it to make it look cool, and I'm like, all right, I'll play it.
Yeah,
I'm sure I'll play it somehow, but I don't know. That series is kind of long gone in my mind. Ever since 4. And 4 wasn't bad, but like as soon as that kind of bombed everywhere, and then they moved to an American team and did all these other spin-offs, and then finally made Homecoming, I just kind of I don't even know what they're trying to do with that series anymore.
Did you like the one that everyone else liked? The Wii one? I haven't played it.
It was Shattered Memories?
Yeah, I guess. Is it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's Shattered Memories. It was okay. It was probably the best one that non-Team Silent that wasn't developed by Team Silent or whatever that team was. It was okay, but it was kind of just predictable. It was, you know, you're going through this area investigating. That part was kind of cool, but there were no actual scares. And then of course the part when the monsters come and then you see it coming. It's like, oh, okay, I'm supposed to be scared, I guess. And you just run. And you just run and you run, and then that's over, and then you go back to investigating. And it's not the way they split it up just felt really, really jarring. It's just, I don't know.
I think that scare is the wrong word to use for Silent Hill. For Silent Hill, it's dread. Like, Silent Hill is a game about, it's about tone and about feeling. It's about you scared. Just being, like, it's not you going, ugh, it's you just being scared all of the time. Like, just, it's such a stressful game to play. Okay, and I played the first one, I started playing it recently. But I lent my PSP to my friend. But I was playing the first one, and the opening of that game is still incredible because nothing happens for a long time, and then you're walking down this alleyway that just gets thinner and thinner as you walk down the alleyway, and you keep hearing little noises, and then you get to the end, and you're like, oh, nothing happened, and then a guy just walks out, and they let you stay, even though it looks like a cutscene. You're still in control of the character, so you think you can do something about it, but you can't, and then the guy just knocks you out, and then it goes into a cutscene.
Yeah, that's okay. Scare is not the word I meant to use, but what you just described is not something that has happened in a Silent Hill game since Silent Hill 4.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't done any of that, and that's why I don't think the series has been that great. Like, they're still trying to be scary, but it's not effective. Like, they're still trying to get that, you know, invoke that sense of dread, but it isn't working. And I think because of the way the game is split up in Shattered Memories, it just isn't that effective. But I mean, it's not a bad game. I guess if anything, it's an interesting adventure title in the Silent Hill world. It's like an interesting take on the first game. But like the stuff with the psychiatrist is really cool. Like, where you answer questions, and then based on your answers, it'll change the story and the characters and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But it's not entirely fun, and it's not entirely what I expect from Silent Hill. So
yeah,
hey. I'm really excited about Twisted Metal.
Okay, so, yeah, Metal, I was really excited about that game.
Was
like
before you played it at E3.
2 years ago.
Hey, I'm still excited.
No, I'm still excited about it. It's just one of those things where, like, I want to play that game, but like my compulsive need to has like just been drained out of me by the delays.
Who's publishing it?
Sony.
Is it Sony? So do you think Kratos is going to be in it?
No. I wouldn't be surprised.
Maybe. Yeah, I think he should be, actually. That'd be totally
it would be
cool.
It would be a better cameo character than Rob Zombie. That's definitely.
I disagree.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. We've had our Dracula discussion, haven't we?
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, if you're gonna slam through the ditches and dig through the witches, then who else are you going to play as?
Well, see, my problem is that Dry Bones isn't in it.
Oh, that is a big problem.
You know what else is dry? That joke.
Thanks.
Whoa.
No, but I'm looking forward to Twisted Metal, and I think the multiplayer will be fun. As time goes on, they put more into these boss battles for the single player mode. That's going to be a waste of time. Like
the first games had boss battles too. They were just like giant cars that you had to destroy.
That was always my least favorite part.
It's not good though. Get rid of that. Like I don't care. Put more time into special like multiplayer modes or something. I don't, you know.
They do have a lot of good looking multiplayer modes though.
Yeah.
And that comes out the same, well, not the same day. It comes out the day after Rhythm Heaven for the Wii, which is something to be excited about also.
Yes, Rhythm Heaven Fever.
You know, every time I see Twisted Metal anywhere, all I can think is a weirder version of Vigilante 8.
But see, Vigilante 8 was a ripoff of Twisted Metal. Yeah.
But see, I never played Twisted Metal. I only played Vigilante 8.
Vigilante 8 was, in a lot of ways, better than Twisted Metal.
I think I can agree. At the time,
Vigilante 8 had they both had a lot of personality, but I think Vigilante 8 had I don't know if you can say better personality because it's a dumb sentence, but it definitely had a more. I don't know what to say. I liked it more.
I think in terms of after Twisted
more
Metal 2,
nuanced personality, I'd say.
Yeah,
I think
Vigilante 8 was cool because after Twisted Metal 2, the Twisted Metal series kind of went downhill until Black.
Yeah.
And Vigilante 8 kind of came out after those games, so you can either have, Twisted Metal 3 or the first Vigilante 8. And I guess in terms of that, I would take Vigilante 8, but...
Yeah, that said, the Vigilante 8 formula did not hold up well. I don't know if you guys played the arcade remake, but it's the same gameplay. It is not fun anymore.
Twisted Metal Black's still a fun game, though.
That's all right.
And it's actually going to be included with the first run of the PS3 version, including Twisted Metal Black, which is awesome.
They promised that now.
Oh, really? Hey, but they'll probably do it. They did Assassin's Creed and then done all that. Well, they didn't do it, but it happened.
Sure.
And I Metal of Honor.
I'm sure they'll also release it as like a PS2 classic.
No, I mean, I'd imagine that's what they do. I just, after all the shenanigans last year of promised bonuses.
Can I talk real quick? Before we were all excited about these PS2 classics, but who the hell is choosing these games?
Yeah.
Tact 2, Full Spectrum Warrior, just a bunch of other crap I don't care about at all. I want to play one, maybe three of these games, but I've only bought one of them.
Yeah, it's weird. I think it's the kind of thing you'd expect, but the confounded expectations with that lineup of the first five.
Oh, yeah, that was a great lineup.
That's why I think everyone's disappointed in what they've done since, because...
I don't think so. Who expected them to put Tact 2 on there?
There are some Tact fans out there.
More fans than fans of Ring of Red, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Ring of Red's on there, which I don't know what that is, really, so I'm not going to complain about it.
Well, it's a fairly rare strategy RPG game, and I kind of like it, but I could imagine there being more people out there who want to play Tact.
It came kind of popular. There was a cartoon based on it and everything.
Yeah.
Well, it's because Nickelodeon made the game.
Well, they published it.
It probably wasn't that hard to get a show made out of it.
Yeah.
Yep. Great.
I'm looking forward to the Vita.
Right. That's a thing that's happening this year.
Yeah.
What was that?
The Vita.
They keep confirming, or self-confirming new games that are coming to the West for the Vita, and I can't help but get excited.
I'm looking forward to the Vita coming out and everyone shutting the hell up about complaining about it because PSP, blah. This game is going to knock everyone on their the Vita is going to knock everyone on their ass, and they're going
to... Oh, you mean, what do you mean in terms of how well it's going to do, or just...
People in general, every time I mention the Vita, there's got to be someone in the conversation who's like, the PSP2, you think that's going to be a good system? I think it's going to be a good system, because
I don't hear that often, actually.
Well, I'll say this. I didn't get a PSP until April.
Oh, true.
Matt, I'll say this. I didn't get a PSP till April, and I'm getting a Vita at launch.
Sure, that's good.
Well, you know, I don't think that that's happened as much lately. I think when it was first announced, there was a lot of that, oh, PSP 2 thing. I think now the problem is that no one's really talking about it at all. I think that, like, there was this hype for it, but, you know, it's getting pretty close to launch now, and there hasn't been this, like, this fervor to really promote it to people.
Yeah,
I think
super
it's going to release.
About it, and
people are
going
to walk,
like,
in and be like, what is this new thing? I haven't heard of it.
They should do demo station tours like Nintendo did for the 3DS, because that works awesomely.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
The thing is, like, it has a pretty decent launch lineup, which is something that rarely happens with anything that launches. Like, it has a lot of games, and a lot of them seem pretty cool.
So, it has Uncharted, so Andrew might actually like it.
No.
I
portables.
Don't think...
Here we go.
It has Katamari.
Does have Katamari. It has Luminous. I mean, come on.
Katamari
I mean,
Uncharted. That's three games right there that I will buy.
Is Sound Shapes a launch? I think I feel like we've asked this every podcast.
They keep saying it is, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be download only in some smaller price point. So it's not ever listed in those, like, launch titles, you know.
I did like about the Vita that they already confirmed that the, like, prices for games can actually vary from, like, $9.99 all the way up to $50. So it's not a set price range for all their games.
Yeah.
And they said that the digital versions will be cheaper, didn't they?
That's kind of been up for debate. I think Sony first party stuff might be cheaper downloadable, but, you know, that's really all they control. But I do like that they're putting into place a system that realizes that the line between retail and downloadable isn't really there anymore, so that there can be, you know, cheap downloadable games, big downloadable games that don't have retail presences and things like that.
Well, Dragon's Con is already confirmed for being like $30 for both Vita and PS3 versions.
Which I love, because I'm totally going to pick up the PS3 version, because playing
I'm excited for local co-op.
I'm so excited. Like,
what game
is
that? I didn't hear.
Dragon's Crown.
Oh, okay.
It's the next VanillaWare thing, but it's a like co-op beat 'em up game. Be pretty cool.
Arcadey.
Yep. Like, it's not really something that VanillaWare's done before.
Arcade. Yeah, I mean. Like, there was an interview about that game where they mentioned that one of the inspirations was like one of the old Dungeons and Dragons arcade style games.
Tower of Doom.
Yep. And the moment the moment I heard them mention those games, I was like, I want this game now.
Yeah, I just hope they don't copy the thing where whenever anybody casts magic, everybody has to stand still for 15 seconds. You guys remember games?
Yeah, I do.
Kind of. Yeah.
If you had a caster with you, it's like, oh, you cast magic. Oh, you're done. Oh, you're going to cast another magic now. Great. I'll just stand still.
Okay.
One more magic. Yeah. Great. Oh, now everything's dead.
Even games like Streets of Rage had stuff like that.
Yeah.
But except it wasn't magic. It was just like cops shooting rockets at things. Standing still. But so is Dragon's Crown, is that a launch title for the Vita, or is that just coming around? Is that
I think it's
window?
Launch window. I think it's something like March, something like that.
Dragon's Crown is not launch window or day.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking at the list right now.
Okay.
I did sell my copy of Disgaea 3 so that I could buy it on the Vita.
Yeah, if only it had Transfaring.
Ever game.
I actually never got around to playing it, so I don't have any saves to Transfar.
There was an interview with the Falcom president recently that he pretty much stealth confirmed that the new East is getting a Western release. So, yeah.
Really? Who said that? I've not heard anything about this. I haven't heard that. Who said it?
It's on the Falcom.
The Falcom president. I think it was in Game of Sutra, maybe.
That
Who
is
cares
so
about the new Ease? Give us the new Trails in the Sky.
I care about Ease.
Trails in the Sky.
You know what I care about, and probably none of you do?
What?
MotorStorm RC.
No one cares.
Yeah.
No.
Going back to Twisted Metal, that just kind of reminds me of the Twisted Metal Small Brawl.
No. I don't think it'll be my favorite thing in the world, but I very much like that you buy the game, and then you can play it on the Vita or the PS3.
That's cool.
It's totally designed as, here's this game.
Wipeout
2048, you can play against people on both systems.
Oh, okay.
But with MotorStorm RC, it's like you buy it, and then you have it for both systems. And I like that. It reminds me of the iOS construct of the Universal app, where you could buy it once and play it on both iPhones and iPads. And if they could do that with Vita and PS3... If, like, you buy this game that's on both systems and you can play it on both systems, that will automatically, like, any multi-platform choice I have, you know, buy it in 360 or PS3, so, well, I can also play this in my Vita. Like, every time I will be buying that version.
Well, they've also been doing that, if you count, with the PS1 Classics. You can install that on your PSP and your PS3. So it's kind of a thing they've been doing for years now.
Yeah, but, I mean, with the PS1 thing, I think it's a little different with emulation than it is
I'm saying that, yeah, they did it because it was available. So I'm saying that I think that if this is that they're gonna embrace it more.
Of course, right now I don't think they've patched PS1 Classic support into the Vita yet, right?
They have not.
Yeah, that was still a problem.
It's still coming.
They're going to, though.
And they actually haven't finished saying whether the PS2 classics will work on it yet either. They said that they can. They just have to figure out the logistics.
Not for a while, anyway.
Yeah.
They're not a big enough thing on the PS3 yet, but as the life cycle goes on, I wouldn't be surprised if they're added in later as a system update.
I do find it kind of funny that I'm already popping in some games, like, say, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and they've already been patched for Vita use, even though we haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah. But,
I'm pretty excited about Ni No Kuni.
Yeah.
I've been dying to see more of that game. That's finally came out in Japan late last year, and now we're getting it, thankfully. So
yeah, we're getting the PS3 version, right?
Yeah, we're not getting the DS version, I don't think.
Yeah, but I definitely think that's the one to play anyway. The art style being really nice.
It looks gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, it's a collaboration between Level 5 and Studio Ghibli.
Which means I'll probably like it, but it is not in my list of games I'm most looking forward to. Because nothing made that list but RPGs.
Well, this is an RPG.
What?
This is an RPG. Sean is quickly changing his list.
Crap. I'm already having to narrow it down.
But yeah, no, it's definitely going to be interesting.
It hasn't made my list of planned purchases for the year, though. So that list is still being revised, so you never know.
You should add it. That game needs all the support it can get when it comes out.
Maybe, if it wasn't localized by Namco. Maybe.
How about Tales of Graces F, anyone? Or is it just me?
That's just me. Mm-hmm. I'll be interested to play it when it comes out, but it's not something I'm salivating to get to. You know,
at this point,
the Tales series is not, you know, something I feel like I just haven't gotten enough of.
Yeah, well, see, the only game I've played in the series is Vesperia, so
Vesperia's
I'm riding a high.
That's a weird thing. I'm hearing that a lot, like, about that game, but also about Final Fantasy, and also kind of about Dragon Quest. Like, I'm hearing people be, like, tired of these series we've had for 20 years or more. Well, you know, especially JRPGs.
Not everyone loved Final Fantasy 13. Not everyone is excited about Dragon Quest 10, and then Tales just kind of... Yeah. It's not
I'm just saying, really like, but also every time a new JRPG comes out, it seems like it hasn't been embraced in a long time.
Yeah, well, I think the problem with JRPGs, and there are some that break out of this mold, is that more than any other genre, it's kind of static.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, we've kind of seen, you know, the run and gun turn into the action adventure or the stealth or something. Like, there are evolutions in gameplay types that I don't think JRPGs haven't. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's the strategy JRPG, but that's been around since Fire Emblem in 1990.
I just want to say, speaking of JRPGs, everyone with a Wii should pay attention to Xenoblade when it comes out.
Yes. Yep.
Just both to support it and because it's a really good game.
And Dragon Quest X.
No. I think that'll... Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
We won't get the Wii version. We'll get the Wii U version, probably.
Yeah. No, that's true. But no,
Xenoblade, I would be a lot more open to the Wii U version than the Wii version.
Yes.
I'm
a game that requires online on the Wii? No, thank you.
I was going to say, depending on... We got to see how good they do the online for the Wii U.
Oh, it'll be great in Japan for the Wii. Just like...
No, I mean, like not the online Hunter for that game. I mean, the online infrastructure for the console.
Oh, okay. I still say they should license Steam.
Well, yeah, of course. That's what everyone should do. But it's not going to happen.
Everyone should either license Steam or Xbox Live.
I mean, Sony did it, and what have they done with it besides Portal?
Yeah, well, I mean, they allowed Valve to do what Valve does. It's not like they've
They didn't really license it. It was more like, we want you to put it on here. We'll let you use whatever you want to do.
Yeah, but it's still like it's a thing on the PS3. Like it's
right.
But it's not. It's a feature that hasn't been utilized.
You have to consider that Valve actually hasn't released a game after Portal 2.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
but
I think
old games that they could adapt to it.
The new downloadable Counter-Strike is going to be available in there, though. I don't want to get started on that.
That's going to use the Steamworks, I think, for the PS3 version.
But also, who is this person who really likes Counter-Strike but wanted to
play it
downloadable on their console?
Well, yeah, okay.
I think it's kind of meant to get new people into the series, though.
I guess, but Counter-Strike has always, to me, been like that kind of really technical, like entirely skill-based, not really like an arcadey kind of experience.
There's no skill. You click on people's heads.
Maybe you click on them well.
You could just say that about any game. There's no skill. You just press buttons until you win. It's so easy.
People just seem to click on my head faster than I click on theirs.
You just move blocks into
all the time.
You just run left to right, and then you win.
Yep. All right. We're getting a little long here, so we'll wrap it up. But I think before we go, I'm going to go ahead. Sure, XCOM.
And also
Limbo.
Batman.
Limbo. I just played Limbo. I just want to say Limbo is awesome, and then that kid goes through some shit. Like,
I'm pretty sure that game came out already.
It did, but I just want to say that game is pretty cool. I want to say it before we close, not for the subjects.
I was totally thinking of the game with the bar when you said Limbo.
I'm really excited to play Limbo this year. Also, Twister. I'm really excited to play some Twister this year. Hopscotch. Can't wait for Hopscotch.
Hopscotch
also
3.
Tag.
How about some Tetherball?
Tag.
Yeah, Tetherball. I'll play it after I get the DLC. Right now, I don't have a cord. I just have a ball and a stick.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the best version.
All right, let's wrap it up.
It's the vanilla version.
But I don't think we can finish this conversation without saying two game titles. BioShock Infinite.
Diablo 3.
Mass Effect 3.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. And we will talk Mass Effect 3 to death between now and when it releases in BioShock.
And afterwards.
Later in the year.
Hey, guys, I just bought Mass Effect 2.
Great.
Great job.
Awesome.
I haven't played it yet.
Play it. Now
I haven't played either of them actually.
I want you to talk about it next podcast.
You can go ahead and play it, and we're gonna go ahead and wrap this up. Great.
Okay. First, are we all getting on Mass Effect on the Xbox 360 so we can do the co-op together?
I feel like we should get it on there just so we can say Shepard.
Shepard.
I don't have an Xbox.
Well, get one between now and you know.
And then you can play with us and say Shepard.
Just so you could play this one game you could probably already play on a system you own.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have any money.
Shepard.
Rex.
Shepard.
Shepard.
Rex.
Shepard. All right, let's go.
What's going on again?
I am calling it. For Matt, Jerry, Sean, and Andrew, I'm Graham. Shepard.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games Podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter @snackbargames.